Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host,
Jonathan Gallegos.
Here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, this is part two on our series of deal structuring on listed property. And we get, like we said on the last episode, we get questions all the time of how do you work with realtors on structuring terms on listed properties and how do the realtors get paid. So if you haven't listened to our last episode, go back and listen to that. So that this one makes sense to you. But what we went over in that episode is all of the offers that Jeff made on this fiveplex in Idaho. And so we went through, you know, offer 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And three of them were longer term offers. One was a shorter 14-month offer. And then the last one was a cash offer. So now...
Subordination.
Yeah, subordination. So now I'm going to guess that, Jeff, I don't know the answer. I'm guessing they went with option one.
They did.
Ah. I just guessed that because you offered more. You offered more than the list price. The list price was $265.
Yes.
And you offered $270 and with $18,000 down. So let's take it from there. Tell us how the conversation went. So you guys, you had an apprentice contact a realtor. And first of all, let's go into that conversation because, you know, those who always ask that question, like, how do you work with realtors? Well, same way you approach a seller, right? So go into that dialogue, if you would.
So my guess, I don't know 100%, but as we mentioned in last episode, is that part of what I have my apprentices do is that they connect with realtors. So either realtors individually that may work with investors or realtors that have properties that are listed that may fit our criteria. And so this probably was something that was listed that caught someone's eye just because of the price based on it being a fiveplex. And she called. And she probably had a conversation like, hey, I saw your listing. Is it still available? Great. We're investors out of Utah. We buy properties in Idaho Falls. We buy properties one of two ways, cash or terms. Do you have any idea if your seller would be open to some offers? And the realtor probably said, yeah, I think my seller would be open to looking at some of your offers. And then she went right back into the script like, all right, let me gather some information and just go through, tell me how many units. Well, she knew how many units, beds, baths, yeah, separate meters.
Rents, condition of the property.
Correct.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So the general information.
Yeah. So almost identical to what it would be talking to.
Directly to a seller. Yeah. That's the same conversation.
Basically. And do all realtors say yes? No. Just like all sellers don't say yes.
Right.
But it's a phone call and you find out within 2 minutes.
Yeah, very true.
So what happened is she gathered that information, sent it over to us. We ran some comps and in some of these smaller cities like Idaho Falls, we don't really look at the value of the property. We're looking more at the cash flow.
Yeah, the income approach.
Correct. So what we wanted to do is make some offers and see if we could get their attention with one of them and either pursue it or start to counter back and forth. And What one of the things that happens when you make multiple offers is that a lot of times they don't think they're allowed to counter. It's like they believe that, oh, well, you've given me choices, and now I just got to choose which
one. Yeah.
So you'd be surprised that there's not a lot of countering back and forth as maybe if I just made one offer.
Yeah, very true.
So they came back, and the realtor said the seller wants to talk to his accountant, which... I love when when I hear that they're going to talk to their accountant or their CPA, because this is income property. This is when we're doing an installment sale, which is owner financing, that they're spreading out their tax consequence, which the CPA or accountant, if they know anything, are going to say, yeah, this is kind of beneficial to you. Bad when they tell me they want to go talk to their attorney, because their attorney is like, the attorneys typically start judging the deal. Well, this isn't a good deal, even though they're only bringing it to their attorney to look at the legality of it. Attorneys tend to get involved in the numbers. I hate when they want to go talk to their attorney. Love when they want to go talk to their CPA.
Gotcha.
So it took a couple of days, and then they just came back yesterday and they said, hey, we'll take option one, with a couple of contingencies. They had three. One was, and I want to go into this because I want people to understand how we deal with it, because we're primarily wholesalers, okay, right? We're wholesaling. I have every intention of wholesaling this property. I had this intention from the second this lead came, right? Yeah. So... They came back with three. The first contingency was, we want to see your company financials and make sure that you are capable of dealing with this property. Now, this isn't a high-end property, but they wanted to see financials. Second, they wanted references from tenants that we currently manage about the condition of the properties that they live in. So they wanted to know, do we take care of properties that we currently own?
Okay.
And third is, what was the third one? The third one was, we want you to create a reserve account with the title company with 1 year's worth of taxes and insurance, so that we know that those payments are being made.
Very interesting.
Okay. So would that be of concern, any of those contingencies?
Yes, for some guys. No, for others.
So I contacted the realtor and I said, look, I want to be clear about a couple of things before we move forward. I said, we're investors in Utah. We do a lot of investing in Idaho, especially Idaho Falls, smaller cities around there, and the bigger cities. And we work in several other markets. We're also part of a much larger investment network where we work with investors all over the nation, whether money partners or in different ways. As of right now, we're looking at this property for us. This may or may not fit our criteria, and it may fit one of our partners' criteria. Giving you financials right now wouldn't make a lot of sense, because I'm not even sure if it's going to be us that's buying it. How about we address it where the seller gets to approve our buyer prior to closing? Oh, that should be no problem. Okay, great. The second aspect. So wait, what did I just accomplish right there?
You kind of dodged that contingency from yourself, really.
Well, I'm not providing any financials unless it's absolutely contingent that I want to buy this property, which I will not be.
Right.
And So I might as well pass that on to our buyer. And who knows if it even becomes an issue, right? But I don't want it to be an issue now. But I want to get a signed purchase agreement. That's what I want.
Yeah.
But I also just created another, I already dodged another issue. Now my contract can be assignable.
Oh, yeah.
So when I just told them that we're part of a larger network of investors and that we may not be, I said, when there's a realtor involved, who's writing the purchase agreement?
They are.
Almost all the time.
Yeah.
Right? And they want it to be on their state rep C, which mm-hmm. is not something that we're comfortable with just because we've done plenty of them, but we don't know every line like ours. That we know exactly what's in ours.
And is their state rep C assignable? Do you know?
It is assignable. There is one line in it, and it allows you to either make it yes or no.
Okay.
So,
so it's not like ours in Utah,
where it's not unless you make
it. Get a special addendum.
This says yes or no. And so now all of a sudden that was no longer an issue. We got that covered, right?
Cool.
The second issue was that they wanted testimonials basically from tenants. I said, look, that's kind of ridiculous. I mean, tenants give all kinds of opinions. And I've never heard of that in like 19 years. And the realtor's like, look, I know it's a little odd, but the seller just wants to know that you're going to take care of the property. And I said, can we kind of table that one? I'm not sure how we can handle that, but why don't we see who the actual buyer is before we even deal with that? He's like, I agree. Okay. So option two was done and actually wasn't even included in the REPC. So done, gone, right? Because who wants to go get
testimonials from their tenants,
right?
Well, and it would be a very strange question. Like, I think about my tenants and me approaching them saying, can I get a testimonial from you about the condition of the property? And they might just blow me off because they're busy too.
Well, it's not that important.
No, it's not.
So you're going to wait on tenants to get back to you? Or, hey, what if everything's been great for the last 2 years, but the air conditioning just broke and it's summer?
And they're mad.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
Third one was reserves. Like, they wanted us to pay a year ahead for taxes and insurance. And I said, how about we just set up a third-party escrow? They'll collect the payments. They'll take and set aside the impounds and escrow that and pay the taxes and insurance. Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Excellent.
We'll get that taken care of.
Excellent.
Perfect.
That way your buyer don't have to come up with everything, that additional funds up front.
First of all, title company's not holding any money for
that stuff.
I don't know where that all came from anyway. But
yeah.
Okay, so we basically fixed this pretty easily.
Yeah.
And so the only issue that I still have is that my seller can approve my buyer ahead of time or prior to closing. However, what are they really going to be looking for to approve? This buyer is going to come with $30,000+ down. You know, they want to be sure that they can afford $1,300 a month. I mean, almost all of my buyers should be able to do that anyway. And if not, then we may have to have a conversation. But I think at this point, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think it was smart of you to table the one concern and then also address another concern that I was going to bring up with you anyway, and that's assigning the contract. And the way you explain it is the way I've explained it to sellers in the past, just the same, that I'm part of a larger investor network, and I have partners that might want this if it doesn't fit my criteria. So that's always a great way to say or to answer the question, why, if it's brought up, why does this need to be assignable, and or what does that mean? But just the way you've kind of tabled their contingencies is smart, because you did that so that you can get it under contract. And really, it might not even be an issue. But I'm curious to see what the seller still wants to approve, or what their criteria is to approve your buyer.
Well, this is my guess.
Aside from
my guess from is they just want to have an idea. I don't think it's really about approval. They just want to know who they're dealing with.
Yeah.
I think that this got signed so quickly. I had this conversation, and like 8 minutes later, it came back to me signed.
Oh, wow.
And then it probably took 5 minutes for the seller to sign. So my guess is seller really wants this to be done, and they're not going to hold things up. That they just want to know who they're dealing with.
They're just kind of setting expectations up front, basically.
Yeah, they don't want a red flag.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that it's not much of an issue. So this is what I like about this deal. The seller, the realtor wrote all of this up. Which,
excuse me.
They basically just took my LOI and they copied and pasted it into an addendum. And I told them that's what I kind of like. I want it to be simple. I want the title company to understand. I want the seller to understand. I don't want there to be any misunderstandings. And I have no problem with the realtor writing it up, but can you include this as an addendum just so everyone can go and see exactly what the terms are?
So was it your idea to have them copy and paste it?
Your
LOI?
I put that out there. I thought he would at least go through it a little bit, and there's some stuff in my LOI that's not needed to be in the addendum. Like, transaction will be treated as an installment sale and would provide seller with some tax advantages. I don't think you really need that in the addendum. But he put it in. He put the whole thing in, including option one, which copied and pasted. But here's what I did, and you're going to like this. Payments to begin 60 days after closing.
Nice.
What does that mean?
It means your buyer doesn't have to make a payment for 60 days once they close on it.
But what does that mean for my buyer?
Cash flow in their pocket.
So probably an extra $5,000 or so.
In 2 months.
Yep. So
nice.
Now all of a sudden you're... cash out of pocket, maybe it's $35,000, but you're going to bring back a good portion of, you know, it might not be total $5,000, but it's going to be a good 2 months.
I love that.
Yeah.
I do want to come back to the suggestion of copying and pasting your offer into an addendum. So you can always just suggest, like the realtor is going to be writing up the purchase agreement. So you can always just make that as a suggestion. So it's actually spelled out clearly in simple terms, in your terms, really. Making that suggestion, hey, Mr. Realtor, you can just copy and paste this into an addendum, or we can go through it line by line and you can type up your own, and I'd be fine with that too. But just making that suggestion, you have everything in clear writing that you wrote out in the purchase contract now.
So the conversation that I had with the realtor, once we covered those three contingencies, he said, can you write that up the way that you want it to be stated and send it to me in an email? And I said, sure. Then I said, so I assume that you're going to want to write this up. And he's like, well, yeah, because, you know, it's a listed property and they got to get, you know, covered themselves for their commission.
Yeah.
And I said, so tell me, how are you going to write up how we've agreed to all this? And he's like, well, do you have any ideas? And I said, well, I'll tell you what I like to do. I said, I'd like to take what we've put together in terms of the LOI and put it in the addendum so it keeps it simple. I just want it to be so that the title company can go to the addendum and see what the terms are. And I want the seller to be able to see it. And for us. I don't want there to be any misunderstandings. It's like, oh, that's a great idea. I'll do that.
Yeah, that is brilliant. It really is.
I've done this a few times.
Yeah.
It's
well, it's what you do with your own contracts.
Yeah.
When you get it in a contract, you copy and paste your offer.
Well, I don't. I leave out
well,
the
yeah.
parts.
Yeah, but I mean all the terms like
yes, I have this like in my
purchase
addendum.
Price, down payment, yes. interest rate, that kind of thing, monthly payments. Because I've seen one of your contracts, and that's what you do. I mean, of course, you can leave out the other parts, but yeah.
Yeah, like option one or, our addendum would be something, seller agrees to sell property on trust deed and note with the following terms, and now they're all just listed.
See, and that might be a big sticking point for a realtor. Like, some realtor is going to be like, well, I don't know how to write that up, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be some realtor out there that is going to say, I don't know how to write that up. That's what they're thinking in their mind. They may not tell you that.
Right.
So just, you know, the power of suggestion. Hey, how are you going to write this up? Well, this is what I've done in the past. This is what I'd recommend so that it's stated clearly in the contract.
Well, and it was really interesting based on our first conversation where I did not even ask about the assignability of it. It was already marked yes.
Assignable.
Based on our conversation. And now I...
That's awesome.
If I need to get multiple people through this property and I need to contact the realtor, well, what's my explanation? Look, I don't know that it's going to fit our criteria. I have a couple of people
that want to go look at it.
Yeah, that are interested, and let's get this done.
Yeah. Yep. Love it.
So that's how it's structured. Let me tell you what we're planning on doing, and we'll wrap this up, that we're going to try to wholesale, and my guess is the purchase price will be $285,000, $287,000 with $33,000 to $35,000 down. All the rest of the terms to be the same. Good cash flow, good return on investment, good principal pay down, good 60 days of no payments. I think this is a slam dunk, easy kind of deal.
Yeah.
People love where they can. I'll tell you what everyone will say. Well, can you do 5 years or 7 or 10 years? And I will say, no. But that's what all the investors will ask.
Yeah,
that's all they care about. And they don't even realize the principal pay down. They don't realize the 60 days. Then can you do 7 years? That's all they care about. They'd probably pay 4.5%. I might have to stay in the middle just because.
Collect some interest.
Yeah.
I love that too, the 60 days. That's phenomenal because, I mean, they put down $30,000, $35,000. They're making $5,000 back in the first month.
Yeah, minus some expense, whatever.
The small expense. Yeah, so not quite that, but.
Yeah.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah, $4,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Calculate that into their ROI. Pretty good.
I agree.
Cool. Well, guys, I hope this answers your questions about working with realtors. And just to briefly recap, approach them the same way you approach sellers. And just ask if their clients are open to taking terms or looking at term. And then you put together offers just like Jeff does. I mean, you get all the general property information and then you send it to them. And then you see what sticks. You're just throwing it against the wall to see what sticks. And then, you know, you have a follow-up conversation with that realtor and know that their commission will be coming out of the seller's proceeds. So that down payment that you're giving the seller, that, you know, the realtor's commission will be coming out of that. And, you know, there's no other 3% if you're unrepresented, right? So, I mean, it's a better deal for the seller because the seller's not paying 6% in commissions as, you know, if another realtor was to come in and represent a client.
And they're typically getting top price or even higher.
On terms, yeah. Yeah, and that's another great point. It's like, hey, Mr. Realtor, Mrs. Realtor, if we can get your client more money for the property and they didn't have to pay the buyer's commission because I'm unrepresented, how would that sound to your client?
Well, think about this. One last point. If you're dealing with an investor that's owned this property, and I have no idea how long this person's, my guess is at least 7-10 years. So they have a tax consequence coming. They're not looking to do a 1031 exchange. So they're going to pay their taxes. And they're used to getting cash flow. So now the real question is, do they have use for this money right now? If they don't, this is a perfect, ideal situation to say, I can keep getting you cash flow. You're going to make money on your money. You're getting a higher price, and you get to spread out your tax.
Yeah.
So does it fit for everyone? No. Some people need their money now. They want to take it, do something with it. But if they don't have a place for it right now, they don't need it right now, this is ideal.
Yeah, and with the benefits that you're able to stack, like you just outlined, more money, cash flow, you could spread out your tax consequences over several years. I mean, that's benefit stacking right there. So what this literally becomes, if they fit the scenario, is an irresistible offer. Because how
did
can they
I know
beat
all
that?
This? No. But as it becomes, I know that it's an investor. I know that based on what the realtor said, that he'd probably be open to whatever offers you want to make. Okay.
Perfect. That's the open door right there.
Yeah.
That's the open door. And so, guys, I would encourage you as a lead source, especially for more commercial properties like this, because it's more well accepted or well known on, you know, commercial side to hold some kind of financing. As a lead source, go out there and look on the market and just start calling realtors of properties similar to this, and ask if their client is open to looking at terms.
Don't spend all your time doing this. just as I mentioned earlier, it's not my number one priority, but it's a lead source. And if this all works out, if this particular realtor works with other investment type sellers, who do you think they will send them to right away, right?
You.
Yeah, so it's about developing relationships, but I would have much rather have gotten to this seller prior to any listing. Whether I could have found this seller or not, I don't know, but you take what is out there.
Yeah.
And but ideally, I would, if we didn't have a 3% commission to deal with here, who knows what we could have structured.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And, you know, they're just saving commissions. If they're able to find you as the buyer, they're saving the commissions.
Right.
Cool, guys. Well, hope you enjoy this. You guys can find us on Facebook, the Creative Financing Podcast. We have a page that's up now. You can catch all of our episodes at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. And we also have a hotline. If you want to leave a question or a comment there, we'd definitely appreciate it. And we'd love to hear from you guys. So that number is 877-409-8090, 877-409-8090. Jeff also has an apprenticeship program, and he's looking for people for commercial properties all across the nation and people to find those properties and learn while you earn. You want to say anything about that real quick?
So I have, we work in 5 markets where we can also work with you on single family homes. And I want to make a bribe to have you rate and share our podcast. If you actually go do it, send us a screenshot in your email. We will send you a special gift.
Yep, and just DM us on Facebook, direct message us on Facebook, and just include a snapshot of that. And Jeff will send you a special gift. Cool, guys. Till next time. create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.